Hello everyone, welcome back. Last episode, we introduced all of the basic facts about marble bone disease, or osteopetrosis. In this episode, we will talk more about the cellular function and imbalance in genetics that causes this disease. We will also focus in depth on the most commonly diagnosed form of osteopetrosis. In further episodes, as we continue to break down this disease into terms of diagnosis, we will see how each form of the disease affects the body in quite different ways. First, let's learn about the most commonly diagnosed form of osteopetrosis. This is called autosomal dominant osteopetrosis, or also known as Albers-Schoenberg disease. Albert Schoenberg was actually the radiologist who discovered the disease first in 1904. This is the most common inheritance pattern of the disease, affecting one in every 20,000 people. It is typically distributed equally between males and females. Any of the genetic mutations associated with osteopetrosis lead to abnormal or absent osteoclasts. To recap where malfunction occurs, we need to take a closer look at these bone-forming cells. Osteoblasts create bone, and osteoclasts are sometimes known as the mediator cells because these carry out the continuous destruction of bone. So as osteoblasts keep building, osteoclasts keep breaking. These functions are absolutely crucial to bone health as it is the maintenance, repair, and remodeling cycle. Now, bone is composed mainly of a matrix of calcium, phosphate, and collagen. Osteoblasts create and secrete this matrix. On the other hand, the osteoclasts secrete digestive enzymes that dissolve the bone tissue. Collagen in this process is broken down into amino acids to build other proteins, while calcium and phosphate are released into the body. So to further explain autosomal dominant osteopetrosis, let's first take a look at genetics. The word autosomal actually comes from the word autosome. Autosomes are chromosomes in the body that do not include reproductive cells. Dominant refers to the fact that it only takes just one abnormal gene from one parent to possibly inherit the disease. This gives the child a 50% chance of having the condition. Often, one parent may also have the disease in this case. This means the abnormal gene dominates the normal gene. Children who don't inherit the abnormal gene will not develop nor pass on the disease. As explained last time, osteopetrosis is caused by genetic mutations, and each form of the disease affects different genes. Now, before we move further, some of you may ask, well, what is a gene? How do these mutations even happen? Genes are made up of DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA is a twisted ladder-like puzzle of building blocks called nucleotides. If you took a deeper look into the trillions of cells in our body, in the center you'd find a nucleus. This nucleus contains molecules called chromosomes, in which we inherit 23 from our mother and 23 from our father. These chromosomes are what makes you, you, from your hair color to your eye color to genetic predisposed disease and many more functions. These help maintain and construct who you are. The ladder of DNA resembles a zipper with selectively paired nucleotides, adenine and thymine, and cytosine and guanine. Each gene has one of these distinct stretches of DNA that give that particular cell function. Now, you might wonder, how do mutations even happen? Well, they can be either hereditary or acquired. This would mean the mutation happens over exposure to things such as radiation, pollution, etc. Now, in the case of our disease, osteopetrosis, it is almost always linked to hereditary nature. I say almost because in 30% of the cases, the cause is actually unknown. Osteopetrosis has autosomal dominant, autosomal recessive, and intermediate X-linked inheritance patterns, all of which we will talk about separately as we learn more about the disease. 75% of cases of autosomal dominant osteopetrosis occur due to a mutation in the CLCN7 gene. This gene is also the cause of 10 to 15% of autosomal recessive osteopetrosis and all known cases of intermediate osteopetrosis. There have been found to be more than 50 mutations in the CLCN7 gene discovered in patients with osteopetrosis. This gene belongs to a family of genes called the CLC genes. These provide instructions for chloride channels. These channels help transport negatively charged chlorine ions and play a key role in the production and transmission of electrical signals. CLC7 genes are particularly important for osteoclastic function. This is because the work of these channels regulates the pH of these cells. Now, the pH inside and out have to be very carefully controlled, or the process of breaking down bones are simply ineffective. So when these channels are not transporting chloride ions effectively, the osteoclast cannot break down bone. Bones now become unusually dense and extremely prone to fractures. This genetic defect is the most common cause of osteopetrosis. Diagnosis is in late childhood or adolescence and is often asymptomatic. Symptoms or manifestations typically always show in problems mainly with the bones. We don't see a large effect on the body as a whole with this form of the disease. In fact, only 5% of autosomal dominant osteopetrosis cases include osteosclerosis, which is a hardening of the skull, and hearing and vision loss. Those symptoms would generally both be present with nerve malfunctions, such as nerve compression due to the sheer size at the base of the skull. This is what would affect the hearing and eyesight. We will see this in other forms of osteopetrosis, and I will explain a little more about how this happens further. Most common findings may include fractures in any long bone or vertebra, scoliosis, an abnormal curvature of the spine, hip osteoarthritis, and osteomyelitis, which is an infection typically found in the mandible bone. Osteomyelitis of the mandible is a well-recognized complication in osteopetrosis, presented in at least 10% of cases. This infection occurs due to the obliteration of bone marrow, resulting in reduced blood circulation to the bone. The infection will usually be accompanied with a visible abscess, which could have been caused after, say, a dental extraction or just poor dental care. Upon further testing, sufferers of autosomal dominant osteopetrosis will typically reveal signs of osteosclerosis in other parts of the body, especially in the spine, which gives the vertebra almost a sandwich-like appearance, known as Ruger-Jersey spine. This will also show a bone-within-bone appearance, typically found in the iliac wings or pelvic region. It can also be found through other techniques other than just imaging. Genetic testing can pinpoint 90% of the cases of autosomal dominant osteopetrosis. This testing can help identify the specific form of the disease and the unique clinical associations and complications. Biochemical findings such as increased concentration of something called creatinine kinase BB isoenzymes and tartrate-resistant acid phosphatase can help make a diagnosis as well. These two enzymes are present in many patients with autosomal dominant osteopetrosis. They are usually found with increased levels because these enzymes are closely related with the osteoclast. Now, why would these enzymes be overproduced? Well, it could be because a lot of the osteoclasts are actually large and dysfunctional. So they need more to help break these down. People with autosomal dominant osteopetrosis typically don't need to receive any treatment except for specific fractures or infections. Osteopetrosis can make the healing or union of fractures a longer process. And also, it's really difficult to operate on these very brittle bones. Because once again, think of these bones as a piece of chalk, like we talked about last time. Now, from the outside, a piece of chalk looks very dense and looks very strong. But as we know, any simple bending to this chalk and it will just snap right in half. These bones are basically the same way. Doctors will recommend many osteopetrosis patients to follow routine and thorough dental care to lessen the chance of osteomyelitis. To reduce fractures, doctors recommend activities should be limited that may cause such issues. It is also recommended to have good nutrition, frequently using calcium and vitamin D supplements. Prognosis for autosomal dominant osteopetrosis patients is actually quite great. So, to conclude, the life of autosomal dominant osteopetrosis patients can be one that is very normal. In the next two episodes, we will talk about the more complex, even more rare and more severe forms of osteopetrosis, known as autosomal recessive osteopetrosis and X-linked osteopetrosis, which is also known as intermediate autosomal osteopetrosis, like we talked about before. We will see that these two forms of the disease affect many more systems of the body than that of autosomal dominant osteopetrosis. This includes, but is not limited to, the muscular system, the nervous system, blood, the immune system, the renal system, and more. We will take an in-depth look at what these forms are, what genes are commonly affected, as well as its many severe symptoms and treatment plans. So stay tuned. There's a lot you still need to know about osteopetrosis.